Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Chicago? What's up? That's right. It is Friday, July 28th, 2017. And Take Unlimited Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you today. Today's topic is going to be good. Hope y'all ready for this. Actions speak so loud, the actions of worship. The actions of worship. It's going to be an amazing, amazing show. Again, today's topic, simply says actions speak so loud. And we're going to be talking about the real actions of worship. As always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King. And hey, y'all, I'm in the studio by myself again. You know, here's the deal. And I don't want to say this and people take it the wrong way. Everybody who plays a part in this show has they have things that they do outside of today's show. They have things they do outside of the show. So because of that, they're here when they can be here. And when they can't be here, they can't be here. And guess what? We all right with that. We appreciate them when they in, and we love them, we love them, we love them. And we just going to keep it moving, man. We're going to keep it moving. So Daria could not be here today because she is out of town. And we're hoping that she has safe travels on her way back. She won't be back until tomorrow. But we going forward anyway. But let me give y'all the rundown on how y'all can be a part of the show. And as usual, I got a bunch of announcements to make. I see my boy Cornelius Parks is already on. I wish I knew how to do this Facebook invite thing where I can invite you in on the show. Let me see if it actually worked. Let me see if that actually worked. It might not. I don't know because we've never done it before. But we'll see if it actually worked to see if I can get him in. But anyway, real quick, we have so much stuff we going on. Let me give you the rundown real quick on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are already on the line, just push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. If you're already on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. If you are listening on Ustream, real simple. You can find us on Ustream. That's our social media platforms or our live stream platforms, Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. That's Ustream.tv. Facebook Live is up and running. Hey, y'all, I thought they had put me in Facebook jail, but I think it might have just been a glitch or something. But I don't appear to be in there now, but I got to start covering our butts on this Facebook Live, because apparently when we play the music, it's not our music, even though I own the music because I bought the music. I either bought it on iTunes or it's paid for through my Spotify account. But either way, we have to cover ourselves with that because I thought they had locked me up in Facebook jail. I wasn't sure. But anyway, you can find us on Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can find us there. Also, if you want to email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. The chat rooms are up and running. Ustream, the Ustream chat room is up and running. Yes, it is. Sorry about that. Now it is. Now it's up and running. And that's how you can find us there. And then last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast by simply going to your iTunes account, your Blogger account, or your Stitcher account, doing a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. So look, y'all, I want to do this again. I'm gonna run through these announcements I got real quick. I got a lot of them. I tried to see if I could get my boy on here. I don't think it works. Parks, you still on the line? No, not on the line, but you still on the – I sent you an invite through Facebook to see if I could get you on video on Facebook. I was trying to see if it actually worked. I don't know how it – I don't know if it works or not. I ain't never tried it before. I said we was going to test it, but I think if you're still on the line, you can get it. You can get in there. I sent you a little invite to try to pop you in video-wise onto this live Facebook chat, and then the people on the radio will still hear your voice if you were able to do that. I don't know if you're still on, if that's something we can actually do, but we're going to see. We're going to find out. Anyway. So much stuff. So look, I want to go down the list real quick. Starting next week, I want to wait until I get the physical tickets in hand. We got tickets for Light Fest. Y'all don't hear me. We got tickets for Light Fest. That's the concert coming up in Aurora at River's Edge Park. We have tickets for Light Fest. We will be giving them away. Actually, what we're going to do is, because I want to wait till I get tickets in hand, they were just sent out, so I don't have them in hand yet, but there will be some. I'll have some in hand, and some will be left at will call for people to get. But this is what we want to do. This is what I want to do. On Monday, because I did not have time to figure out all of the contests, blah, 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 blah. On Monday, we start the giveaway. We're giving away a set of tickets on Monday. We're giving away a set of tickets on Wednesday. And a set of tickets on Friday, all next week. So y'all need to find out what's going on, how you're going to be able to get those tickets. We're going to send some stuff out. We're going to be posting it all up on Facebook. You can win tickets from Taking the Limits Off Radio. Big shout out to Pastor Julian Spencer and the Main Baptist Church family who graciously allowed us to help them with their advertising. And because of that, they gave us tickets for this concert. Todd Delaney, Israel Houghton. It's going to be huge. Todd Delaney, Israel Houghton, and last but not least, Anita Wilson. They will all be there live at River's Edge Park in Aurora. You don't want to miss your opportunity to be a part of that great, great event out there in Aurora. I know it's a long drive, but hey, if you got some free tickets, and then there's only 2 days left. There's only 2 days left before you can get the early discounted tickets. There's only 2 days left before you can get those tickets. So if you're going to buy your own tickets, go to riversedge.com or go to Main Baptist Church's website. That's Main Baptist Church Aurora, or you can go to Main Baptist Church's Facebook page. There's a link there. But either way, you can do that. And again, that concert date, let me get that for you real quick. That concert date is... Where'd it go? Come on. Act right. Yeah, that concert date is August the 15th, I believe. Yeah, I believe it's August the 15th is that concert date. And that's a Sunday evening. And it's going to be awesome, awesome event. I hope y'all are ready for it. I am. I'm excited about it, man. I love, you don't get the opportunity too many times to see gospel artists. And I'm going to tell you right now, even the ticket price, $35 and $55, $35 for regular seating, $55 for VIP seating. You can't beat that. You really can't. But it's really going to be a good time in the Lord. And I am excited about it. My own self, let me put it that way. I'm excited about being able to play a part, if nothing but a small part, but to be able to play a part in that particular show that they're doing out there. So it's going to be a good time, man. And y'all stay, it's going to be good. But let me get to the rest of these announcements that we got going on. There's so many. But let me get you this one first. So let me give you the details on this date. It is fairly simple. It is August the 15th. I'm sorry. See, I messed up the date. It's August the 13th. That's Sunday, August 13th. River's Edge Park, Aurora, Illinois at 5 p.m. It's Light Fest featuring Grammy Award-winning artists Israel Houghton and New Breed, Anita Wilson, and Todd Delaney. Again, that's August the 13th. That's a Sunday, August 13th, 5 p.m., Aurora's River's Edge Park. You'll be able to see Todd Delaney, Israel Houghton, and Anita Wilson. That is going to be an amazing, amazing show. You don't want to miss it. Tickets right now, if you have to get you some tickets, they're $35. Or $55 general admission. Watch this though. But only 2 days left to buy the early bird tickets. It's only 2 days left. You can go to RiversEdgeAurora.com, RiversEdgeAurora.com. It's going to be an amazing, amazing event. Big shout out to Maine Baptist Church for this particular event. Big shout out to them for that. It's going to be huge, and I'm excited for them, man. I am, and I love Julian Spencer is a mentor of mine. He came over and preached for us over at the anniversary, and when he told me about this event, I jumped all over the opportunity to help spread the word about it. Because when you're doing good stuff, I have no problem with sharing the word. But let me keep it going. So tomorrow, my twin is having an event. Let me pull hers up. My twin is having an event tomorrow. Greater Love, Greater Works, Outreach International, 2017 Youth Summer Explosion. Angela, are you on the Angela, I almost called her Angie. She don't like that. Angela is on here. Let me see if this thing works. How you bring other people in. Let me see so she can tell us about her event if she's still on this thing. I don't know if that's going to work. I've never used it, but we're going to find out if it actually works. Her event, 2017 Youth Explosion, Music, Games, Workshop, hosted by God's Elite. They are still accepting donations. Saturday, July 29th, 2017. Festivities begin at 2 o'clock. Now, I'm getting a text message from her right now or a Facebook message from her. She's telling me her event is full. But they are still accepting donations. So they already got some 200 kids. They're already doing 200 plus kids. Let's see. Oh, my God. 400 hot dogs and pops and chips and all that good stuff. If you all can help them out, you can send $5. It's a 501c3 organization. You can go to onesistertoanother@gmail.com. You can go to Chase Quick Pay. You can do Cash App. You can look for Pastor Angela under Cash App. They are still taking donations for their event. All these events, man, the events that I'm naming now are for the children, and they're definitely going to help our kids get through the rest of this summer. You need something for your kids to do. Here again is the event, the 2017 Youth Explosion Music Games Workshop, hosted by God's Elite, Saturday, July 29th. Festivities begin at 2 p.m., 17 West 620 Reardon Road. Again, that's 17 West 620 Reardon Road, Villa Park, Illinois, 60181. That is going to be good, and that's tomorrow. Can't wait. Hopefully that event, I really wish, unfortunately, her event falls on the day of our church picnic here in the city of Chicago. Well, our church here, even though our picnic is in Melrose Park, but it falls on the same day of our picnic because I would love to go out. Angela knows I always come out and support her events, but unfortunately she's having her event on the same day my church is having its annual church picnic. But I definitely will keep her and her supporters and everyone in our prayers. I know it's going to be an outstanding event. It is going to be an awesome, awesome event for them out there in Villa Park. So again, Youth Explosion, 2017 Youth Explosion, Saturday, July 29th, 2017, at 17 West 620 Reardon Road. That's a Greater Love, Greater Works, Outreach International Church. It is going to be good. Let me keep it going. Church picnic tomorrow. Y'all got to come to the church picnic. It is going to be, let me tell y'all right now. So, you know, last year we played gospel. I call it praise break musical chairs. Y'all know how you play musical chairs, right? So we did musical chairs last year, and it was like fun. It was way too much fun. So this year we're doing musical chairs, but watch this. Also, we're doing gospel, lip sync battle. We're doing gospel lip sync battle. Y'all need to come and be a part of the gospel lip sync battle. It's going to be good. We got great prizes and everything, but we do. So you can get up and mimic your favorite. If you've never watched the show Lip Sync Battle, I don't know what channel it comes on. It's not MTV. It may be MTV or Centric. But LL Cool J is the host of Lip Sync Battle. But these guys come out and they put on some amazing shows. So I want to see y'all get your favorite Christian artist. But you know what? I might not just keep it to gospel music. It is a picnic. Folk might want to have fun. So, you know, as long as you ain't doing nothing outrageous, we may just slide some extra songs in there, a little R&B, you know, whatever. But you can do your favorite artist, and the crowd will be the judge. The crowds will be the judge of who wins. And we got some great prizes for that. That's going to be fun. So that's tomorrow. Our picnic starts at 10. Picnic starts at 10 o'clock. It's going to be out there from about 10 a.m. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's going to be fun. You are welcome to come out. Bring your fans. Bring your kids. We got bouncy houses out there. Man, we're going to have snowballs. And I ain't talking about them watered down snowballs. We got the anointed snowball lady coming. And she bringing all the flavors. And when I tell you she got all the flavors, she got a flavor called lemonade. Let me tell y'all right now how it will bless your whole soul. She got a flavor called just plain old lemonade. Not lemon, not lime, but she has a flavor just that's called lemonade. And I tell you right now, it blessed my soul. So y'all want to come out, if you're in the Chicagoland area, please feel free to come on out. Y'all can join in with us, come to our church picnic. You are welcome to come. And if anybody, you show up and you don't recognize nobody but me, and anybody question you, tell them Dinah said. That's right. Bring your kids. Y'all can jump around in the bouncy house. We got games for the kids to play and all that. And look, we got spade tables. We got bidwill tables. Yeah, we got bidwill tables. Y'all heard me. We got chess. We got all that. Got Uno. Bring your Uno cards. Because it just come on, man. Have a good. It's an old school picnic, but it's church picnic. It's a good fellowship. It's gonna be fun. And look, you guys are all welcome to attend if you're in the Chicagoland area. Come on through, man. And let me get y'all the address, because I did not give y'all the address. I know. I didn't give y'all the address. Let me do right. Let me get y'all the address to the doggone event, because you don't know where it is if I don't tell you where it is. Church picnic is located in Melrose Park. It's Melrose Park. Let me get the right address. Hold, please. Yeah. Kingdom Baptist Church. Come on. There it is. All right. Church picnic tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the picnic location, the Picnic Grove location, is located in Melrose. That's actually River Grove, Illinois. That's considered River Grove. It's 8338 North Avenue, River Grove, Illinois. 8338 North Avenue, River Grove, Illinois. If you get to First Avenue and North Avenue, okay, if you take First Avenue to North Avenue, when you get to the corner of North Avenue, just look for the large picnic grove. And you're going to see you'll see the big Kingdom Baptist Church white van parked out there, and you just see a whole bunch of folk, and you're going to hear some real loud music because I'm doing it. So you look for that, and you can find us over there. We're going to be loud. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be getting our praise on in the middle of the day. It's going to be fun. I promise you it's going to be fun. So, again, the address is Sunset. The location is Sunset Bridge Meadow Picnic Grove, 8338 North Avenue, River Grove, Illinois, July 29th between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Woo! So much going on. All right, next one. I'm going to get these other announcements out the way. My boy, Parks Cornelius, yes, sir, he has a big event, August the 6th, Healing the Hood, back to school event. Healing the Hood, back to school event, Sunday, August 6th, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., giving away 3,000 book bags with school supplies. I cannot express this enough. 3,000 book bags with school supplies. Let me tell y'all something. Last year was the first time when he did this. Not wasn't the first time, but when he did this thing last year, and we were talking about it, and I think he said he gave away about 2,000 book bags or something last year. And I told him, I said, you know what? As well as you did that, I said, I believe that God is going to allow you to do 3,000 or plus book bags. And sure enough, when he made his announcement this year, he is going to do 3,000 book bags with school supplies. Y'all want to know where it's at? Sunday, August 6th, 3 p.m., 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be at Washington Park, at the Diamonds, Washington Park, where they play softball at, so you can't miss it. Washington Park, that's in the city of Chicago. If you don't know how to get there, get your little GPS out. But just come on now, it ain't that hard to do. Get your GPS out, just type in Washington Park, and you'll get there. It's a softball game, NFL players to appear. Retired NFL player. It's going to be there signing autographs. It's going to be games and stuff for the kids to do. All types of fun. This is to stop the violence and to give our kids something. So many kids don't have access to resources. So many kids don't have access to school supplies. You know, and we talked about this when he was here Monday, that, you know, it's really sad to see a kid go to school on a Monday or any day of the week, first day of school, and they don't even have pencils. They don't even have paper. They don't even have, you know, the basics. So if you go to this event, look, y'all, please bring your children. You have to have your children with you to get the book bag. That is a must. You have to have your children with you. If you got five kids or you got five grandbabies, then guess what? Bring your grandbabies. That way everybody get a book bag. If you got some neighbors, this is the time for you to be neighborly. You know some folk that live on your block, and you see their kids going back and forth to school. You see them not have book bag or nothing. You go to that door, you knock on the door and say, look here, lady, daddy, mama, whoever, get your kids, pack them up. If you can't take them, we take them and bring them over there so they can get them some school supplies. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's called being a good neighbor. So you go up and grab as many kids as you can, pack them in your car, your truck, your horse, your carriage, whatever it is you got to do, get them over to Washington Park August 6th. That's a Sunday, 3 p.m. Y'all ought to be out of church. Y'all done had the Lord's Supper. Y'all done had a little test, get you something, and then you can eat when you get to the picnic. You can eat when you get to the back to school function. They got hot dogs and hamburgers, so you can eat when you get over there. So it ain't no excuse. There's no excuse for you not to go. So I really think it's an opportunity for you all to come on out and take advantage of this great, great, great opportunity for the kids of the city of Chicago. And you can. And look, I don't care if you got kids with you. Watch this. Watch this. I don't care if your kids are here visiting and they don't live here. Bring your kids over here to get them a book bag to take back with them. Come on now. Come on. Just grab some kids. Grab some kids on your block. Just grab some kids and bring them there. 3,000 book bags, and I'll say this again, with school supplies. Full with school supplies. Again, Sunday, August 6th, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's what it is. That's what it is. Amen. And I know, right? Just way too many, too much stuff. Then we got my brother, starting next Wednesday, Danny Jones, down at First Congregational Church. His youth group is called Wildlife. It's Wildlife, Y-L-I-F-E, Wildlife Ministries, presents the Wednesday Worship Youth Revival. So for every Wednesday in August, they are having a youth revival strictly for kids. On August the 2nd, that's the first one, Pastor Anthony Spencer Sr. Will be the speaker, and musical guest Alexis Shepherd will be in the house ministering through song. So again, that's the Wednesday Worship Youth Revival. Wildlife presents First Congregational Baptist Church, located at 1623 West Washington Boulevard. That's in the city of Chicago, 1633 West Washington Boulevard. Y'all know where First Baptist is. Big old church on the corner of Ashland and Washington. You can't miss it. It's a historical landmark. You cannot miss it. A beautiful, beautiful facility. You got to get over there, get your kids, pack them up, and bring them over there too. So you're saying, look, the same kids y'all bring over here. See, I'm going to watch this. This is how it's all connected. Y'all watch this. The same kids that you bring out on to Angela's event on the 29th, the same kids that you that may come to my picnic, the church picnic on Saturday here on the 29th, and then the same one of y'all who plan on going to Park's event on the 5th, bring your kids over here on the 2nd to get some word, and then take them out there to get them some book bags. See, it's all connected. If you can't get Angela's event is full. Her event is full. So if your kids didn't get in time to get to her event, guess what? You can wait the following week, and you can go to this event to get you some book bags. I am just I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It's just great. This is going to be a great, great, great event. It's going to be good, man. I'm excited about it. So look, y'all. Man, I got all that out. Whew, out of breath. so much stuff is happening. So I'm sure you all have seen this. I'm sure you all have seen this in the news. I'm sure you've seen it. The Affordable Care Act, still the law of the land. The Affordable Care Act. You know, the Republicans named it Obamacare, but the name of it is the Affordable Care Act, and it is still the law of the land. Last night in the late session, the senators were voting to try and repeal Obamacare, and they call this thing a skinny repeal is what they were trying to do. They keep trying to change the name. They keep trying to change the dynamic. They just keep trying to kick folks off of this thing, and they needed 53 votes, I believe it was, to get they needed the votes to get the majority to win. And John McCain, who has been sick, who has been out ill over the last few weeks, found out he had brain cancer, if I'm not mistaken. He has been out the last few weeks. He came in and voted, and it was like dramatic and everything. He stood up. He walked up to the front of the voter section down there in the Senate, and he stood up. He held his hand up just like this for y'all that can see me on Ustream and Facebook Live. He held his hand up, and then they waited, and there was a pause, and he gave it thumbs down. He voted no. He voted against the Republicans. He voted against the Republicans, and he said why. And the reason he said why was he said because the bill that they tried to pass does nothing for the people who actually need health care. Ain't that something? Does nothing for the people who actually need health care. So he voted no, and it died on the floor. They have tried. They have been trying to abolish the Affordable Care Act for 7 years. From the day it got passed, they've been trying to get rid of it for 7 years. And guess what? It ain't gone nowhere. Now, yes, does it need some work? Yes, the bill, the current status of the Affordable Care Act needs work. Absolutely it does. There's stuff needs work. There's stuff that needs work in the bill. They need to make it so that everybody who has access can get access. They need to change some laws so that people, because there are certain states where the insurers have left all together, and they really just need to open it up. I agree with the Republicans on this one point. Open up the insurance so that people from Illinois can buy insurance from Indiana and vice versa. Because if I'm able to go to different places, it's going to bring the cost down. That much I absolutely agree with. What's up, Tim? But that will bring the cost down. It's called competition. But right now, if you're in Illinois, let's say, for instance, you got Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's the only Blue Cross Blue Shield you can get. Somebody in Wisconsin may have Blue Cross Blue Shield and have the same coverage you do, but be paying almost $50 to $60 to $100 less than what you do. Kevin Page, what's going on, Doc? I know I didn't speak to a lot of y'all yet on Facebook. I'm sorry. Kevin Page, what's going on? Look excited, man. Excited about tomorrow. Kevin, man, once again, Kevin Page, his brother I grew up with, has this great company that he do. They come out. If you got a picnic function, a class reunion, and all of that, you late, man. You should have came on over here to the church, Mark Atkins Sr. Come on over here, man. We still got an hour left. You can come on over here now. But Kevin Page, my man, these old school friends of mine, west side of Chicago, has this great company called You Chill, We Grill. I'm going to get it right one day. It's called You Chill, We Grill. They will cook all of your food for you. All you got to do is buy your food. You buy your meat, or you give them the money to buy your meat. They have different price ranges, but you buy your meat. If you want to buy it and season it yourself because you know how you like your stuff to taste, and then let them cook, they will do that. If you just want to get them the money, let them go buy your food, they will do that. If you just want to buy the meat and let them season it, they will do that. Whatever it is, they bring this monstrous grill out. And when I tell you that grill is a monster, it's a trailer. It's one of them trailer grills. You know, the ones you see on them barbecue TV shows on the Food Network and what's that other channel? But they always out there. That's what he has attached to the back of a truck. It's an amazing, amazing people. And I love it. They're good people because I know them. they're good people because I know them. But I'm just letting you know they do great work. They do great work. So it's called You Chill, We Grill. They come out, but you can go to his Facebook page, Kevin Page on Facebook, Kevin Page, and his last name is spelled P-A-I-G-E. Look him up. His profile picture is the grill. He just joined us on Facebook Live. For those of you who are local, who want to take advantage of this, check him out, Kevin Page, You Chill, We Grill. They doing our picnic for us tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, it's good when you don't have a lot of work to do. You got to be cooking and doing it. They come out. They set up everything. It's an amazing, amazing event. And that's good stuff. But I just want to say this too, man. There is this morning I'm watching the news, and I'm listening to all of this infighting that's going on right now. You know, it's amazing how for eight years, I'm not just going to say the Republican Party because it wasn't just them, but for 8 years, people tried, they were disrespectful to President Obama. They were disrespectful to his family. They were disrespectful to who he was as a man. They questioned his birth. They questioned his background. They questioned his beliefs and everything else from the time he was in office. And I'm going to say it, and I don't care who repeat it. They only questioned it because he was black. Because now you have a man in office who is a known womanizer, who is a known crook, who is a known backstabber, who is a known thief, who is a known person not to keep his word, and he is the president of the United States, and there has been more controversy in the last 7 months. He's been in office since January. So in the last 6 months, almost seven, there has been more controversy with this president than Barack Obama had in 8 years. And you want to say it was political. There was nothing political about the hate and hatred towards President Barack Obama. It was all because he was a black man. That is the whole reason they was mad. That's the reason they still mad. And that's why this president was elected, because he was elected to dismantle and take down any and everything that Barack Obama got passed while he was in office. Y'all don't hear me. You might not like it. It's the truth. My Republican friends, I got quite a few of y'all. I know how y'all feel, but y'all feeling a little funky today. Come on now. Y'all feeling a little funky right now with this guy y'all got in office. Y'all real quiet. Huh? My Republican friends, my conservative friends, y'all real quiet about this Donald Trump. Every day there's some mess, and I'm on Christian radio. If I was on a different, if this was TTLO After Dark, I might say it like I really feel it. But every day there is some mess coming out of that White House. Some mess. They dogged Michelle Obama out because she put a garden in the back on the grounds of the White House. But this you got folk cussing each other out in the Oval Office. You got folks having knocked down, drag out arguments, and they're being caught on tape and audio. And then you got them doing interviews with major media outlets talking about each other like dogs. Come on. The president, the highest office in the land, is the most messiest off. I mean, it's mess. And the words of my mama, it's messy as hell. I have never seen. Think about this. Come on, can I talk to my people? Y'all didn't like George Bush, right? None of y'all did. We didn't like George Bush because we thought he stole the election, or they stole it for him. You know, we didn't like him. But did you hear any of this stuff happening in the Oval Office when Bush was in there? Did you hear any of this stuff happening? Now, I know how y'all feel about Clinton. I'm going to try not to. Y'all know Clinton. Some of y'all thought Clinton was the first black president. But I know how y'all felt about Clinton. And Clinton, you know, yeah, he did some stupid stuff in the Oval Office. Yes, he did. In the Oval Office, he was accused of doing some stuff. I'm going to leave it alone. It was a dress and some cigars involved. And I'm going to let y'all Google the rest. It was some cigars. It was some cigars. And, yeah, it was some cigars and some dresses involved, you know, down at the Oval Office. But that came and went. You bad choice of words, but that came and went for them. But watch this: when Reagan was in office, you didn't hear about this infighting. How you going to lead the country when your own, you can't even keep your own people in line? Huh? Mark Atkins. You know what? Y'all on Facebook, y'all read Mark's comment. Mark, I'm going to call your pastor. I ain't repeating it. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Daily it's mess. It is constant all day, every day. We're getting bombarded. Okay, today at the White House, this one cussed out that one. This one did that at the White House. This other one did this at the White House. I mean, it's all day, every day. It's nonstop. When does it actually come to an end? I'm calling your pastor. These assignments are for indoctrinated people. You can stop tagging me. Yeah, okay, Terrence. I hear you. I'm talking about politics right now. So you, I think you know a little bit about it. I'm talking about politics right now. But you've never seen a White House this messy. Seriously. I haven't always paid attention to politics. I really didn't get into the political game until at a young age when right before Clinton ran, because Clinton, Clinton, I believe, was the first president I was able to vote for because he got in 92. Yeah, he got in 92 because I didn't get to vote for. I did because 92. Yeah, I got to vote when Bush Senior got in. I got a chance to vote. But Clinton was like the real first time I actually really started following politics. But you never heard about any kind of mess like this before. And it's crazy. And all them folks, them Trump supporters, they getting real quiet. They getting real quiet. And then he has the nerve. He went out to He went to a Boy Scout rally. Y'all watching this now? He went to a Boy Scout rally. I don't know if y'all saw this. He went to a Boy Scout rally and pretty much said some vulgar things in front of the Boy Scouts. Now, Boy Scouts are to start to teach young boys how to be men. And then you have this one getting up there talking all kind of mess. And then the Boy Scouts of America had to come out and issue a statement because the president of the United States was a dang on embarrassment. Our president, number 45. It's crazy. It's borderline. And I don't know who said it earlier. So, was that Yolanda? I think you said it was it's become a reality show, and it is. It is a reality show. It is scandal without the sex. It's the West Wing. If you ever watched the West Wing, it's in those. It's House of Cards. That's what it is. It's House of Cards minus the sex. If you think about it, if you pay attention to what's going on right now, and if you ever watched the show House of Cards on Netflix, come on now, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, it's one of them things where you're sitting back like, wow. How embarrassing is this? How horrible. We have become the laughing stock of the world because of who we elected as president. We have become the laughing stocks because of who we elected as president. And no one says a word. We just go on about it. But then, like I said before, y'all didn't get out and vote. It's amazing. I want to give you these are some of the words that Donald Trump said at the Boy Scout rally. Donald Trump said, "Boy, you got a lot of people out here. The press will say it's 200 people, but it looks like about 45,000. You set a record today. You set a record. Then he says, I said, this is his second statement. I said, who the hell wants to speak about politics when I'm in front of the Boy Scouts? He says, today we ought to change it from the word swamp to the word cesspool or perhaps the word sewer. Mind you, he's talking to kids. Then he says, many of my top advisors in the White House were scouts. 10 members of my cabinet were scouts. Can you believe that 10? Which was false, first of all. He only got two. Jeff Sessions, and Jeff Sessions was the Eagle Scout. He didn't get to go on the trip. He says, some of you here tonight might even have camped out in this yard when Mike was the governor of Indiana, but scouting was very, very important. He just sat out there and just made all types. As a scout, scout law says a scout is trustworthy and loyal. We could use some more loyalty, I will tell you that. I mean, it's and if you just watch the speech and then he says, by the way, did President Obama ever come to the jamboree? But yet he's not talking politics. But you in a room full of but you in front of a room full of kids. It's crazy. You know, I mean, it's sad. It's one of the worst things. He is a borderline embarrassment. He can't even stick to, you know. You talk about somebody who really needs to win, who needs to follow the teleprompter and read it word for word, him. Because if he don't, he's going to say something. He's going to say whatever he wants to say, and it's going to be a hot mess. It's going to be horrific. It really is. It really is. But I'm over Trump. I'm over it. But y'all, I'm just saying, y'all need to keep an eye on this because the story grows every day. He's crooked. He has nerve to call Hillary crooked. You know, that was the term, crooked Hillary. But what we're finding out is that you crooked, your sons are crooked, and the majority of your cabinet is crooked. But you talking about somebody else being crooked. You just happen to get elected while being crooked. You see what I'm saying? And then he's attacking his own people. It's just a mess, and it's the worst kind of mess. It's the worst kind of mess. And like you said, we have become, and you're absolutely right. I just said that, Norma. We are becoming a laughing stock. We are, because they sit back in meetings and just go, okay, what is their president going to say? Donald Trump is like the drunk uncle at the picnic. Except Donald Trump ain't drunk. You know, but you got the drunk uncle at the picnic who just started talking and saying all kind of stuff that he shouldn't be saying. That's what Donald Trump does. He's the drunk uncle at the picnic, and unfortunately, he's the drunk uncle who just starts talking. And the problem with the fact of what Donald Trump is, what the president says matters, and he has not figured that out yet. You had the nerve to announce that you were going to stop the LGBT stuff, not via an official White House letter. Not via an official White House statement. You did it via Twitter. You did it via Twitter. Who does that? You did it via Twitter. It's amazing. It's a mess. And yes, it's an amazing mess. But this is what happens when you have poor leadership. If I can bring this back to church, oh my God. When you have poor leadership, everybody, this is why his cabinet is so out of whack. When you have poor leadership at the top, you have everybody else trying to tell everybody else what to do. The chief of staff, can I help somebody? Can I get y'all a little education? Just a little bit. In the White House is in, the president is in charge of the White House. The chief of staff is in charge of all of everybody else that works in the White House. Technically, the chief of staff is the main employer. He is the one who hires and fires. The current chief of staff has no power in the White House because Donald Trump don't like him, and they just hired somebody else who is blatantly and outright being disrespectful and what's the word when you don't do what you're supposed to do at when you don't do what you're supposed to do at work vocabulary just done left me right now. I feel so bad. But, you know, just not even doing. He is literally sitting there and just being outright not doing any of the things he's supposed to do, and then throwing it in his boss's face that I ain't got to do it. And the reason I ain't got to do it is because Donald Trump hired me. You didn't. Who does that? But this is the atmosphere that he has created in the White House. Even Fox News has started to question some of the stuff he's doing. Now, you know, Fox News is about as right wing as it can be. But even Fox News has started to say, what in the world are you doing, Mr. President? It's sad, man. It's sad. But anyway, y'all, look. So we got this good article. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Y'all get ready. And I might give away a set of tickets today. I know some of y'all excited. I might give away a set of these tickets today for the Light Fest featuring Israel Houghton, Todd Delaney, and Anita Wilson. Yeah, I might go ahead and do that today. I'm thinking in my head about something I can put together real quick. So let me take a quick break. When we come back, y'all get ready. I might get them tickets away. I might. I'm just saying. I might. Might do it. Anyway, we're going to be right back. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Be right back.
You want to praise him for it now? You want to wait for a manifestation or something else to happen? What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with?
That you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
We are back. Taking the limits off Friday. Praise Break Friday. Woo! We are back, and we got this really, really good article. And I want to jump in. I want to make sure I have enough time to get through this article. It is going to be good. The article is simply entitled "Actions Speak So Loud: The Actions of Worship." The actions of worship. That's what it says. Let me speak real quick. I know I missed speaking to y'all on Facebook. I'm just kind of going through doing the show, and I didn't speak. So y'all, please, let me use that good Christian term, that good church term. Charge it to my head, not to my heart. I didn't do it on purpose. I just got the show started. When I'm here by myself, I just go. Y'all know how it is. I just go. When I'm here by myself, I just go, and I just keep going, and that's pretty much how that works out. But we're going to keep it going. If you haven't already, hit the share button, because the article is going to be good. Y'all get ready. And see, I see people popping in and popping out. Some of y'all just popped in today because y'all think y'all trying to win these tickets. I know what it is, but it's going to be all right. I ain't mad. I might give them away. I haven't thought about it. I'm still working on it. I'm working on the plan. If I don't do it today, I'm definitely going to do it next week. But, yeah, let's get the article started. So the writer says this. Years ago, he says, I learned that the old proverb, actions speak louder than words, was true. He says, if people hear you saying or singing one thing, but your actions speak another thing, they tend to believe your actions rather than your words. My God. He said, He says, I am in love with the creator of the universe. He has given me a full and abundant life. He has given me health, forgiven everything I ever did wrong, answered my prayers for my family, and then given me an awesome purpose in life. He supplies my daily needs and is my closest friend. He gives me wisdom, peace, and love on a daily basis. And on top of all that, he is always with me. The writer goes on to say, so when I worship God in private or public setting, I want my actions to match my words. I want the people who I lead in worship to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. I do not want to do actions for action's sake. I don't want to do worship actions of the Bible because they reflect. I want to do worship actions of the Bible because they reflect the passion of my heart. He says, I read Psalms daily, and throughout the Psalms, there are action words. Woo, my God. Can we pause right there? When you talk about praise and worship, worshiping is a lifestyle. I remember years ago, I sat in a praise and worship workshop, and I really wish one day we could get him to come over and do it here at the church. Zachary Lavender, amazing musician, And I'll say it again, amazing musician. Currently, he's over at Lifeline Church, but he's an amazing musician. He does workshops and all those types of deals. Zachary did a workshop some years ago at Freedom Baptist Church, and it was about praise and worship and music and all of that. And he was the first one that I ever heard say to me, the first time I'd ever heard it. I'm sure it had been said previously, but he was the first one to say that worship is a lifestyle, that it's a lifestyle. It's not just something you get up and do on Sunday morning. It is a lifestyle. Like your daily life is a life of worship. It's just not the 15 minutes you stand up on Sunday and give God some praise. And when he told me that, now mind you, he said this to me, this had to be about 2004 or 5. And this is over at Freedom. This is when he was at Freedom and they were having some type of workshop, and Byron Cage closed out his workshop, for those of you who remember what I'm talking about. And it was an amazing workshop. But that's the first time I'd ever heard the statement that worship is a lifestyle. So when I read this article, that instantly comes to mind for me, because he says, I love this part where the writer says, I do not want to do actions for action's sake. I want to do worship actions of the Bible because they reflect the passions of my heart. Let me help somebody. When you're in the midst of worship on Sundays and someone says, y'all ought to clap your hands, you ought to clap because that's part of your worship lifestyle. Like, you understand what clapping does. You understand that clapping confuses the enemy. Come on, somebody. You ought to understand that loud worship, that you let loud praise out of your mouth, confuses and confounds the enemy. You ought to understand that you're not doing this for the sake of the person telling you to do it. You're doing it for your own sake. Because, see, I can praise God all day long, but my praise is for me. Oh, my God, I can't praise him for you. As much as I would love to praise him, I cannot give God glory for you. You got to do that on your own. Whew, my God. So I love this. The writer says this. He says, I read the Psalms daily. And he says, throughout the Psalms, there are action words. He says, years ago, I decided that I wanted my life to line up with God's word. Amen. He says, I did not want to live my life according to how I think it should be lived. He says, I want to follow a higher wisdom than mine. My desire is to live my life and to worship God according to God's pattern and standards. Oh, my God. He says, God created me, God designed me, and I have found that his ways are superior to my ways. So when I worship, I try to worship according to biblical pattern. Can I help somebody? Worship is according to biblical pattern. See, you might believe that worship is what you see being done. Well, that's just how the church do it, and it don't take all that, and you shouldn't be doing all that, and la 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 la. That's what you might believe. I want to talk about the biblical pattern of worship. So here we go. He says, God created me, and I found that his ways are superior to my ways. So when I worship, I try to worship according to the biblical pattern not according to my personal taste or traditions. So here are the number of actions worship that I've discovered in the Bible. The first one is singing. Singing. Now watch this. Singing don't mean you got to be in the choir. Singing don't mean you need to be behind the microphone. Singing just means it's an act. It's one of the acts of worship. The Bible says this. God loves singing. He says in the book of Zephaniah, it says that God rejoices. My God. God rejoices over you with joyful singing. Singing is mentioned throughout the Bible. One of the psalmists said it this way. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. Whew. Another psalmist tells us to come into his presence with singing. In the New Testament, Paul tells us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Singing is one of the staple actions of worship. So here is the deal. Here is the deal. Here is the deal. Let me read this. Angela says, hold on, Angela, I can't see your comment. Let me put it on another screen. Hold on. Angela says, but Dana, we got to do it and not badger people. Brother Elder, you let somebody go through what we've come out of, and I promise you, they'll go there just like us. My life didn't reflect worship all the time, but he showed me how it's done. Amen. Absolutely, Angela. No, I don't believe you ought to badger people into worship. Absolutely not. And I think the only time you end up badgering people into worship because the people you quote unquote end up badgering don't understand what worship really is. And if you're a church, it's just like you have a church with a folk and y'all complain about the people not tithing, but you're not teaching them what tithing is. You're not teaching them stewardship. You can't expect folk to tithe in your church when you have not taught on stewardship. I'm not just talking about teaching tithing. I'm talking about teaching stewardship. See, when you teach tithing, that just tells me I got to give you 10%. Stewardship tells me how I have to be a good steward over everything that God has blessed me with. Huh? God, work with me. So in this section of the article, give me one second. Let me get rid of that. Don't need that. Okay. In this section of the article, he says singing is one of the staple actions of worship. So here is the deal. Even if you don't like the congregational song, can I help somebody? Even if you don't like the conversational song, the conversational, look, good Lord, the congregational song. I correct myself. Even if you don't like the congregational song, if they have supplied you with the words, guess what? Sing them. You owe God that. You don't owe me that. You don't owe me singing, but you owe God that worship. You owe him that. You owe him that time. If you are if you're in church for 2 hours a Sunday, 3 hours, and for those of you who come to Sunday school, you in church for 3 hours. You can't give God worship for 3 hours. Because if the truth be told, some of y'all don't worship all week long. I'm going to just leave that right there at your feet. But truth be told, some of y'all don't give him no glory, no praise all week long. You mean to tell me you just can't come and be dedicated for 2.5 to 3 hours on a Sunday and just give him some worship? Huh? That's what y'all trying to tell me. You feel like you can't do that. You can't open up your mouth and just sing along with the congregational here. Maybe you don't know all the words to the choir song, and that's fine. Maybe you don't know all the words to the praise and worship song. That's fine. But the congregational song, 9 times out of 10, is going to be in a bulletin or in some churches who have great audio, video, technical, all that good stuff. They got the words up on the screen. Just sing along. I promise you, if you sing along, your life might change. Because if we start paying attention to some of the words of these songs, we might actually recognize that some of this stuff actually belongs to us and it affects us, that it actually applies to us. There's a song that's in my playlist right now, and I play it every opportunity I get. I play it at least once every time I'm in my car. At least once. Meaning I played it on my way to the studio today. I'm going to play it when I leave here and head to Oak Brook. And I'm going to play it tonight when I leave. I'm going to play it at least once every time I get in my car. I'm going to play it at least once. And it's a simple, simple song by Beverly Crawford. And if you have not ever listened to it, It's a simple song. It just says, I owe everything to Jesus. Y'all, I just got excited. I'm trying to tell somebody right now. It's a simple song. And it's all, the song is all of about 5.5 minutes long. But I promise you, if you add that song to your playlist, come on, somebody, just find the song. Y'all got, look, it costs 99 cents on iTunes or the $1.29. It might be one of them $1.29 cents songs. It's worth it. Or if you got Spotify, or just go to YouTube and listen to it for free. I owe everything to Jesus. Between that woman singing and Moses Tyson playing that there organ, I promise you it's going to be a little different. But singing. Let me get this on here. See, I done got caught up. Y'all know I get caught up in different little pods, and y'all don't say nothing to me, and I just keep on going. We on the time. Oh, we got 29. No, we moving. We doing good. Boy, you doing all right. Preach, boy. All right. So that was number one. Number two says, playing instruments. This is for my musicians. He says, the writer says, I love to play instruments. He says, I play around 12 of them. He says, so I love that the Bible says playing instruments is an action of worship. Psalm 150 is the most famous of psalms on this subject. In that same famous psalm, it talks about praising God with the string instruments, with the horns, the drums, the percussion, the wind instruments. In fact, it says, if you have breath, you ought to praise God. Huh? Come on now. And see, that's the thing. See, and wait a minute. It's not asking you. That's the part I don't think people understand. When these words were written, they weren't written as a request. Y'all missed that. Y'all just missed all of that. They weren't written as a request. Come on now. When God said praise God, when at the very beginning of the psalm, somebody get a Bible out. Come on now. Come with me. Somebody get a Bible. Oh God, somebody get a Bible out. I don't see a question mark in the writing. Now I ain't got, now those of you who don't have digital Bibles, pull up your, get your mama's King James out or whatever. But the very first line in Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord, period. Huh? There's no question mark. That's not an ask. That's a command. It says, praise ye the Lord. That's what it says, right? Then the second part says what? Praise ye the Lord. It says, praise God in his sanctuary. That's what it says, right? Praise God in his sanctuary. That's not a question either. That's a command. It's not an ask. It's a tell. Then it says, praise him in the firmament of his power. Huh? Huh? Again, no question mark. Command. Then it says, praise him for his mighty acts. That means everything that he's done, all of the stuff you heard about, all of the stuff you read about, and then watch this, all of the stuff he's done for you, all of the stuff he's done for your family, all of the stuff he's done for your friends, all of the stuff he's done for folk you know, praise him for his mighty acts. That's not an ask. That's a command. Huh? And then I love this. The writer goes a little further. Then he says, praise him, according to his excellent greatness. See, this right here, I could preach a sermon right here on this one line. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I'm going to be mindful enough, watch this, to tell somebody, I believe the reason your praise is so weak is because you believe God is weak. See, I would say that to some folk, but they might get offended. I believe the Bible says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Do you not believe he's a great God? Come on. Do you not know he's a great God? Has he not been good to you? Huh? Has he not been good to you? Praise him according to his excellence. That means according to how great he is, that's how much your praise, that ought to reflect in your praise. It ought to. It ought to. Then he says, praise him with the sound of the trumpets, and praise him with the psaltery and the harp, and praise him with the timbrel and the dance, and praise him with the stringed instruments and the organs. That's what he said. Then he says, praise him on the loud cymbals and the high sounding cymbals. But then at the very end, this is for everybody who sits in the room. This is for everybody who's in the sound of my voice. This is for everybody who's going to watch this a little later. This is for everybody listening on Blog Talk, YouTube, Ustream, everywhere else. He says, praise him. Uh-huh. Let everything that hath breath. Huh? Oh, God. Let everything that hath breath. If the roaches got to praise him, if the ants got to praise him, huh? If the rats got to praise him, everything, If the dogs and the cats and the birds got to praise him, if everything, anything that can do that, got to praise him. No question. Command. Oh, my God. Let me leave it alone. Let me go. Come on, Dana. Come on, Dana. Stay with me. That was number two. Number two was all about playing instruments. We're talking about actions of worship. That was number two. Number three says this. Lifting of hands. Uh-oh. Don't miss this now. Lifting of hands. This is what the writer says. I love this. He says, I love what the prophet Jeremiah wrote. The prophet Jeremiah said this, let us lift our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. He says, there is something about lifting our hands in worship to God that is very spiritual. He says, I love it when my grandkids come with me with their hands lifted up towards me. It means they want me to lift them up and give them a hug. He says, I also love it when I'm at a great football game and my favorite team scores and the whole crowd jumps to its feet and they lift their hands and shout. He says, lifting our hands seems to be a very natural human response. There's something about lifting our hands that God loves. Many great men of the Bible, like David, Solomon, Ezra, Moses, Paul, Peter, oh my God, lifted their hands in worship and adoration to God. Can I help somebody about lifting hands? Because, see, some of y'all been in church so long and y'all don't believe you got to lift your hands in the church house. If you've ever, I've used this because y'all know I did a class here on praise and worship some years ago, never got to finish it, but it was a fun time with the people. Lifting hands is a sign of surrender. Let me show you. I said this on the show before. If you ever see, watch the police at work. If you ever see the police at work and the police say, you ever watch the TV show about police officers? They say, put your hands up. Let me see your hands. Those of you who can see me, I got my hands with my palms facing toward my face right now. This is incorrect for the police. When the police want you to surrender to their authority, come on, somebody, they don't want your hands with your palms facing you. What do they want? They want your hands with your palms facing them, because that's a sign of complete surrender. That's showing them that, look, I give up. Huh? See, when you lift your hands to God, oh, my God, it's a sign of surrender. Oh, my God. When you lift up your hands with your palms open forward, lifting them up into the sky, it is a sign. God, I give it all over to you. Hey, huh? I surrender all to you. Me lifting my hands is a sign of worship. Huh? Also, if you lift your hands with your hands up in your palm, then you look this, you're also able to receive. Oh, my God. If your hands are lifted and they're lifted outright like this here, if your palms are facing up, but you lift your hands up, you got that's a sign to receive. Oh, my God. Kurt Cobb wrote a song about set the atmosphere, and at the crux of the song, he said, reach up and get it, huh? Reach up and get it. That's what he said at the end of the song. Y'all don't want to hit me. I'm trying to tell somebody. Oh, God. I'm trying to help somebody. See, y'all sitting in church and you're sitting on your hands. You don't want to clap because you don't like who asked you to clap. You ain't clapping for me. Clap for the Lord. Don't lift your hands because don't lift your hands because the leader said lift your hands. Lift your hands because your worship is for real. Woo, Lord. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm just here to help the people. I'm just trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. This thing that got me. All right. That was number three. Let's keep going. Number four says clapping. Clapping. Clapping is another natural human response, the writer says. He says, we clap in approval at a great musical or sporting event. We clap in time with the music. He says, I love to clap to intricate rhythms to entertain myself. But the song puts it succinctly. Come on, everyone, and clap your hands. Check it out in the Bible. Come on, where it says, everyone, clap your hands. Not just you and you. Everyone. Watch this. Even if you ain't got no rhythm, because you know some of y'all are rhythmically challenged about clapping. But even if you ain't got no rhythm, clap anyway. Huh? If you ain't got enough rhythm, if you start clapping enough when everybody else clap, you'll get it together. You'll see. But just clap your hands. The Bible says clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands. Ain't nothing wrong with clapping your hands. We will clap, and we clap at football games. We clap at sporting events. We clap at concerts. We do all this clapping and hollering. We get to church. We get to some of y'all, and some of y'all churches, it's as quiet as a rat peeing on cotton. I had to catch myself. But that's how some of y'all churches sound. Because you come to spectate. You come, let me see what they're going to sing. I hope they sing my song. What if they don't sing your song? You still ain't going to worship? If the choir don't sing your song for a month, here's my question. If the choir don't sing a song you like for a month, are you telling me you're going to go a month without worship? Let me help somebody. Oh, my God. That was number four. Number four was clapping. Clapping was number four. Let's go. Number five. Number five says this. The writer says, shouting. Shouting. Come on. Did I put number four in there? Why number four didn't show up? Oh, wait. Number one, two, three. Where's four? Did y'all get four? Did I put four in there? Did I not hit enter? Hold on. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, I guess it'll show up. Not sure why it ain't there. But that was number four. Number five says this. Shouting. The writer says, I have found that people naturally shout in sporting events. He says, in fun times and other exciting human endeavors. But somehow they think they shouldn't shout in church. The writer says this. He says, I serve a God whose majesty and power is unparalleled. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He created this wonderful planet that I so enjoy visiting and exploring. He is interested and involved in the details of my life. Jesus said that even the hairs on my head are numbered. Let me tell you, I think that God is more than worthy of me shouting his praise. The writer says, do you know that there's even shouting in heaven? Come on, let me help somebody. In the book of Revelation, y'all don't want to miss this. In the book of Revelations, it says this. It says in Revelations that all the angels and elders declared in a loud voice, shouting, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. My God. So even in heaven, the angels and the elders are shouting, worthy is the Lamb, holy, 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 all day long. That's it. But you can't shout it. You can't holler amen. You can't give a hallelujah in the church house. My God. Then the writer says this, there are certain times when we should get excited about God. Excited about what he's doing. So excited about what he's done that the only natural response should be to shout. He says, I do not believe that God wants us to be inhibited when it comes to our praise to him. Jesus said, even if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. That's what Jesus said. If you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. And like the song says, I don't want no rock to cry in my place. Huh? I'm trying to help somebody. I'm just trying. I don't want no rock crying in my place. Y'all better come on. There is nothing wrong with just giving God a shout. And I mean from the bottom of your belly. Just let that thing out. Huh? Think about the most exciting time. You were at a concert or a baseball game or a football game or your kid graduated and walked across the stage. You know, that kid that you didn't think was going to make it. You know, yeah. You hollered out. Y'all ever been to them? You know black folk at graduation. You know we can be real dramatic. And you see that, and that kid holler out, and you see his mama and the grandmama, because, you know, them was the ones who raised him, and they start hollering, almost going up in the praise. That's what I'm talking about. You ought to have the same zeal for God in the church house. You ought to have the same zeal in the church house. Shouting is not something that's exclusive to the Kojic church or the holiness church. The Bible, the Bible says in Revelations that the angels and the angels declare in a loud voice. That's me right now. What I'm doing right now in a loud voice. Some people would consider it shouting. Huh? So you can't be afraid. Come on now. I see you, Prophet Cornelius Williams. God bless you. I should have called you, had you in here today. You got to be willing to let God hear you. And yes, I know he can hear a whisper, but guess what? I ain't ashamed to let the folk next to me know how much I love him. Huh? You can't be ashamed. You sitting on the road with some folk that's quiet and sitting on their hands, let them sit on their hands. If you sit next to me, you're going to find out how much I love the Lord. Because if the Spirit moved me to do so, guess what? Hallelujah, Jesus. Huh? You got to just go. You cannot sit back and not say nothing. I remember one Sunday I asked the people in this church, I asked the people at the church, at this church, this one question. I said, what if your life depended on the praise of the person next to you? Oh, my God. And I think they missed it, so I had to repeat it. What if your life, your next breath, and see, this is how I convict myself. What if your next breath was dependent on the praise of the person sitting next to you? Huh? That's how important worship is. Oh my God. That's how necessary it is. We got to get to a place where we're not afraid or ashamed or so inhibited that we refuse to give God some glory. We got to get to a place where we recognize that this thing that we're a part of, this is a necessity. You have to show gratitude. If I bring you a gift, your response ought to be thank you. If I bring you a great gift, your response ought to be thank you. Well, did God not give us a great gift? Oh my God. Huh? Did he not supply us with the greatest gift? Does that gift not deserve a shout? Huh? We're talking about a God that gave his only begotten son. Does that not deserve a shout? Does that not deserve a hand clap? Does that not deserve lifting of hands? Does that not deserve your best, your excellence on an instrument? Does it not deserve it? Did he not give you the greatest gift? And we can't, you know, we sitting in church, you know, just doing this here. Just praise the Lord. Yeah, just praise him. Praise him. That's what we got. That's all I got. Praise him. Praise him. Who does that? I shouldn't ask the question. I know who do it, but I'm just saying. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. That was number five. That was number five. I already put that one in there, right? Yeah, number five. Number six says this. Dancing. Uh-oh. Dancing. The writer says this, dancing is another one of those human responses that many people aren't comfortable with in church. He says, to tell you the truth, I'm a musician with good sense of rhythm, but I am not a good dancer. The writer says, fortunately, God still loves it when I express my joy before him with dancing. Of course, I knew he was going to go here. He says, David was uninhibited when it came to expressing his joy in dancing. Even when he became king, his joy overflowed into his dancing. The writer says, women seem to be freer in expressing themselves in dance than men. Frankly, I feel a little awkward when I dance, but as Solomon said, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Can I help somebody? Let me tell y'all this. Now, I am, and I'm, y'all can say I'm bragging or whatever. I am a wonderful dancer. Let me say that right now. And I'm just talking about, I ain't talking about praise and holy dance. I'm talking about just dance. I can dance, right? I can get it in, right? But when I was a little kid, I couldn't dance a lick. I mean, I go to people's birthday parties, and what was Dana? Standing up against the wall. They all out there dancing, you know, doing the Jackson 5 and all that dancing, dancing, dancing. Y'all know what I'm saying? And they were getting it in and grew, and I was standing up against the wall. You know, patting my foot. I could keep beat. I just couldn't figure. It was too much movement. It was too much movement for me. But then as I got older and I started recognizing that, you know, start doing some stuff, you know, you learn a move or two, and then you just get free. And once you get free, you can just go. Here is the issue, and I preached this sermon. I think it was my first sermon, if I'm not mistaken. It was my first sermon I preached downstairs in our banquet hall. My first sermon I preached was A Fool for the Lord, and I used David's dancing, and I love this because some people think that they're so dignified that they cannot belittle themselves or embarrass themselves into dancing or shouting or clapping or praising. But I like the fact that David, even as king, recognized that, yes, I am king of the greatest country in all of the world, Israel. But even at my height as king, even in all my greatness, I still can dance to the Lord. Huh? I still can dance to the Lord our God. I still can give him some praise. I still can give him some worship. I still can come down off of my throne and lay my crown down on the side and lay these priestly robes down and get all the way down to my ephod and just let the Spirit of God take me wherever it chooses to take me. David said, if I could be more vile than this, is what he told his wife, because she said, how shameful are you to be dancing out here down to your drawers? And David said, look here, woman, if I could look more fool than I look right now, if it was going to be pleasing to God, I would do it. Woo! Huh? I want y'all to recognize this. This is not something. I know we have people who practice the praise, you know, practice your holy dance, you know, y'all practice your shout dance. I know. And I, you know, that's on you. You do what you do, you know. And then there are others who are sincere. And you know, and everybody's dance don't look the same. Everybody's shout don't look the same. My issue is this. Don't be so worried about what you look like that you withhold your praise. Oh my God. Come on, come on. That was number six. We got it. We gotta move. We gotta move. We gotta move. We gotta move. That was number six. That was number six. Number seven. Number seven says this. Number seven says this. Bowing down. Oh God. Ha! Bowing down. Paul Morton got a song that says, bow down and worship him. Bowing down and worship. Number seven says, bowing down and worship seems to be more of an accepted Eastern practice than a Western one. He says, personally, I've only used bowing down in corporate settings a few times. In my private worship, I've used it more often. He says, sometimes when God makes his presence known in an awesome way, the only acceptable way to worship him is bowing down. Oh, my God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you become aware, watch, whoo, my God. When you become aware that you're in the presence of the creator of the universe, it only seems appropriate to get down on your knees and bow down, oh my God, before him. Come on, somebody. It only seems appropriate that when you become aware of the very presence of God, it becomes impossible. The psalmist says this way. He says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. I love the Paul Morton song. He says, bow down and worship him. I think we've gotten a little bit too sedentary in our worship. We've gotten a little too bougie in our worship. Yes, we got on some $700 and $800 suits, and yes, we got on some $500 and $600 shoes, and yes, they might get a little scuffed up, but ain't nothing Shine King can't get out. It ain't nothing the dust that the cleaners can't get out. I dare you one time just allow yourself to just go and lay prostrate in before the presence of God.
Huh?
I'm trying to help somebody. You cannot be afraid. You cannot be afraid to give God glory in this way. Now, I'm not telling you just to get up and because everybody else start laying down, you lay down. No. It's when you recognize that you are in the very presence of God. That's when you realize I can't stand no more. I got to just kneel over or bend over and just let and just give myself, lay completely prostrate and surrender into the very presence of God. I just told you a minute ago about lifting up holy hands. And when you lift your hands with your palms up where the person can see them, that you're in a sign of surrender. What is the next thing that the police have you do? The police, sometimes you see police officers in movies and in real life, you see them, they tell a person to get out the car. They tell them to lay down flat with their palms up, palms down. What is that? That is a complete sign of surrender. In church, that is laying prostrate. You got to, sometimes the presence of God will move you to a place, my God. It will move you to a place where all you can do is just lay down. Huh? My God, my God, my God. Okay, we ain't got time. Number eight says this. Again, we're talking about actions speak louder than words, and we're talking about the actions of worship. Number eight, standing. The writer says this. He says, I love it when congregations stand in worship. They sing better. They're more attentive, and they're more involved. He says, I'm not saying that you can't worship God when you're sitting. I'm just saying people sing and clap and lift their hands and praise God more with enthusiasm when they stand. He says, I love this glimpse. Watch this. Get Revelation. Somebody grab your Bibles. Revelation 7, 9 and 10. Revelation 7, 9 and 10. This is what the writer says. He says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Huh? Stood means they stood in front of the glory of God. Huh? That's in Revelation. Can I help somebody? Revelations is a precursor. That's giving us insight to the end. That's what it's going to be. So you might as well start practicing now. You might as well get, when you get to church on Sunday, and instead of you sitting there wondering why everybody is standing, you ought to just start practicing, unless you plan on being somewhere else. Huh? I ain't gonna bother that. You plan on being somewhere else, then you don't need to practice standing. Last one, number eight. Number nine says giving. Giving is an act of worship. Oh my God. Don't get scared. But giving is an act of worship. The writer says this. Years ago, I memorized the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And the first verse says, dear brothers and sisters, I urge you to give your bodies to God because all of these is done for you. Let your lives be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Y'all know that one. He says, I believe that giving your whole life to God is the most powerful way to worship him. God loves it when you trust him. He trusts him enough to lay down your goals and your desires and offer your life to him. God loves it when you lay down your goals and your desires and offer your life to him. That's what he said. He loves it. Watch this. Then he says, come on back. He says, can you trust God enough to give him your goals, your finances, your dreams? Can you trust him enough to die to your own ambitions and let him live through you? Can you trust him to do a better job with your life than you can do. Can you trust him that much? My God, my God. Woo, my God. Look, y'all, this has been amazing. This has been amazing. This has been awesome. Practice your actions of worship. Start practicing your actions of worship. I promise you, if you start practicing your actions of worship, you will start to see significant changes in your life. Just start practicing them. I promise you, you will start to see the significant changes in your life. No more superficial worship, but real worship. Real worship. If y'all start doing that, oh my God, if you start giving God some real worship, y'all hear me, some real worship, if we start doing that, you will start to see difference and changes in your life. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much right now, God. God, we thank you just for being the head of our lives. God, we thank you for this article that we found today. God, we thank you for just what you're doing for us, God, and in us. God, we thank you just for who you are. God, we thank you for your excellent greatness, God. We praise you because of your mighty acts right now, God. God, we love you and we lift your name. We extol you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, God, we ask that you would bless the events coming this weekend. God, we ask that you would bless my sister Angela's event out in Villa Park. God, we ask that you would give her everything she needs and then some for the event, God. We ask that you would give her the. Then, God, we ask that you would bless our church picnic on this Saturday, God. Then, God, we ask that you would bless each and every event, each and every church, each and every Christian facility that is open in your name. We ask that you would bless it right now. It is in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. Love y'all. See y'all next week. Y'all be blessed. TTLO. Bye. Presence of the Lord.